See, that's why in Galatians it says that the promise to Abraham was given before the law, so that the promise would always be of grace and never of merit. And you gotta, let's go there real quick. God, I hope we don't get into that.
Where are we going?
I had Ronnie carry this big book all the way over here so I could refer back to the 3-year cycle.
Just ignore his question.
Galatians chapter. It's a heavy book, too, isn't it, Ronnie? Nice hat, Ronnie. Galatians. Galatians 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now the word accounted is a legal term. In the same way that if at this point, if God had defined an inheritance, I mean, and he had written a testament, then the inheritance to his people would have gone into the legal book, and this was a long, long, long time before the law was given. We think the law was given so that we can find ways of performing it. The law was given to show you that no one can perform, and therefore everything is of grace. Everything is of promise. Everything is of this incredible mystery of grace. But the moment you believe that you have to perform, then you've fallen back under the law. That's why always and ever from the beginning of time the gospel went to those that had come to the end of themselves, that they knew they couldn't perform. But anyway, let's where are we? What did I say, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, it shall, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And we just, you know, slide it over that God preached the gospel to Abraham. An incredible thing. He preached the gospel to Cain and Abel, but only Abel heard it. He preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So if you choose to go into, and again, cause and effect is a law. Reward punishment is a law. Now, the only evidence that exists that you are under faith and not under law is how you treat your brethren. The only evidence that exists that says you love God with all your heart and your soul and your mind is that you love your neighbor as yourself. So somehow, then, remember, the neighbor is anyone in need. So the talent is not to blind your eyes to the need. You pray for discernment that you that wherever you look, you can see their need. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, or instead of us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith alone. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it, or addeth to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, thy sperm, thy life, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, says the law cannot disannul it, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Well, what the hell then is the purpose of the law? Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till a seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. In other words, God made the covenant with himself that if anyone broke the covenant, one of the signers of it would have to die. But God didn't make that covenant with another party. He made it with himself. So if the other party broke the covenant, God would die. That's so awesome that we can't even think about it. So we therefore we brush it off.
But there wasn't really a lot of doubt as to whether or not the other party would break the covenant.
No. But that's why it's so imperative that you abandon yourself. This is what God revealed to Abraham in the horror of great darkness. What was this horror of great darkness? And speaking of horrors of great darkness, where's Alex? Don't worry about it. He needs to get an alarm clock. Right, tell him there's a lot of people he doesn't want to be in trouble with, but he doesn't want to be in trouble with me. And this is the way he gets in trouble with me.
This might be a good time to quit.
This break.
You're such an ass. He practices all the time. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But that Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we are kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. I can't tell you how important that scripture was to me in the early years. Now, the schoolmaster isn't like our, you know, a professor over here going to school. The schoolmaster was a slave of the household, whose purpose it was to discipline. All of the human race, all of man's laws, all of the things that take place are a slave of God's household. They're not part of the promise, but they're a slave of God's household. You understand? So that we are kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Shut up unto the faith. And the faith is when you can finally look, and wherever you look, wherever you, whatever you hear, any place, you only see it's finished. You only see Him. See you. You look in a mirror, you won't even see yourself. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life, live thou thy life in me. Be thou made flesh in me. Do thou thy will in me. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. If you read this book that we've talked about a lot, on the theology of, on being a theologian of the cross, the Heidelberg Disputations, it's what Luther wrote. The summary of it was that little prayer: I have no will but thine. I have no life but thee. Live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. Once you see that, then the thing that has been masquerading as your free will be gone. You will lose control. And the idea of this thing seducing you by the law, by your definition of the law, by your definition of the way a thing works, it won't have any more power over you.
Paul, before his conversion, maybe put more stock in the law than others did.
Sure.
But here he puts the law in its place.
And then he does it worse in Romans, where he said the purpose of the law is to shut up your mouth. Everybody understand perfectly? Every time you get into, oh, I should be doing this. Oh, I should be doing that. Oh, this should have happened. Oh, this should be this way. Oh, this should be that way. Oh, if I do this, then that will happen. If I don't do this, then that won't happen. The place in which you live, if you're living by your mind, by your senses, then that's all you can do. And you wonder why you forget. You forget because you live in your mind. The purpose of your mind is to make you forget. What was that? Oh, Anne. That was a bojo right there.
She's a bojo.
It's too bad we don't have a carpenter around. Does everybody understand so perfectly what the gospel is? Can you stop living in your mind and in your feelings and in your emotions and your senses? Can you stop making judgments by what's going on around you and make judgments only by faith? That's what it means to have faith. So it means to believe.
Think of my will versus his will, and my will is uniquely small. And
you don't have a will. Satan's will expressed in you. But that's a big difference.
Well, yes. But my point being that his will, when you compare, when you reason with that idea, you can't even come close to any measure of who he is and what his will can be. And the idea that your will can guide you or lead you. But
that's the illusion. Hear me, because you do it. I mean, and you did it in your question. It was a good question, but even in the way that you worded it, by saying your will, then you're under the deception of the Western world by thinking that there is free will. If you want to make everybody in the universe mad at you, tell them there's no such thing as free will. There's only two wills in the universe: the will of God and the will of Satan. And even the will of God if the will of Satan is of the will of God, because its purpose is to oppose, to test this mystery of the one will of God. The will of God. Oh, I'm searching for the will of God of my life. No, then you're an idiot. The will of God is Jesus Christ, period. Oh, I'm searching for what God wants me to do in my life. Well, I promise you, if you're searching, you'll never find it. Oh, well, this prophet told me that, well, my God. You can't believe when I was on television and radio, you can't believe the number of prophets that wrote me letters saying, this is what you're going to do.
Why do they believe that kind of stuff?
Because it enhances their own importance in the kingdom of God.
None of them guess what you would be actually doing, did they?
No.
That ties in perfectly to your you are your father, the devil. If you
You are of your father, the devil, and all. And he was saying this to the Jews that believed him, that believed on him. He was saying it to Christians. You are of your father, the devil, and whatever you will to do is his will. That's all you're capable of doing, and it's a lie.
I hated hearing that.
And you like it now?
I do, yeah. But no, I remember when we first talked about that, it was so disappointing.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Christian now. What are you talking about? I have been converted. I'm on the right path.
It's almost fighting words.
Okay. Well, it was fighting words. Okay, I'm going to read from John 8:40. Well, sorry, in John 8:31, just to cement this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I love that. I love the way that politicians or speakers use that. The truth is something that doesn't change with time. Once you know the truth, the Son, then you're free indeed. They answered him. Now that ticked him off right from the start. Here now he's talking to Jews that believed on him. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant of sin abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered, again, this is what he said this at the First Baptist Church. They answered and said to him, we're Christians. What are you talking about? We be of Abraham's seed. Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. They didn't seek to kill him until he told them they weren't free. They sought to kill him. He's talking to a group of people who want to follow him. And he starts challenging everything they hold precious. Just like we did.
I wanted to add him to their repertoire.
Who is worse than the flea?
You do the deeds of your father. Verse 41. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceedeth forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil. And the lust or the will of your father is what you will to do. So he just destroyed free will in that one sentence. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth or convicteth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. They answered, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? It doesn't say that. It says that thou art not of or not a child of Samael. Aren't you, that say we not well that thou art a child of the chief of demons? And hast a devil? And Jesus answered, I have not a devil. But I honor my Father, you do, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, etc., etc., etc. These are big things. This has to seep deep into your consciousness in order that you will never again trust your consciousness.
You got to go through this door before you go through any other door. Otherwise, you're just reading this to enhance yourself, figure yourself out.
Yeah. Oh, this is a manufacturer's handbook. If you want to fix your car, you go to the car manual. If you want to fix you, you go to the manufacturer's handbook. No, it didn't. This is a thing that shows you you're stupid. This purpose of the Bible is to show you you're a failure. The purpose of the Bible is to show you you can do nothing. The purpose of the Bible is to show you that whenever you think you're right, you're sucking on a menstrual rag. When did the Bible become the manufacturer's handbook? When did the church become a building? When did faith become a commodity to get stuff or to change things? What the hell has happened in our world in the name of God? When did our spiritual leaders teach this crap?
That's the answer to the question you just asked. Because nobody's willing to do what Christ did, which was offend his followers.
Yeah.
And send 99% of them scurrying.
Not just offend them, but trying. He's pushing every button that exists.
Well, what I was thinking about when we were talking about this the other night, Judy was talking about the reaction of demons to Christ. The idea that
that a demon possessing a man would follow Christ around going, this is the Son of God, listen to him, this is the Son of God. Or the same thing with the disciples, that they would follow the disciples saying, listen to these men, they have the truth, they have, these are demons doing this. It's a perfect picture of this confrontation with the people that would follow him saying, you're of your father the devil.
That's why when you can't eat of the table of demons and the table of the Lord, that you cannot eat. You cannot gain sustenance from the things out there and expect to gain sustenance from God. Because before you can gain the sustenance from the flesh of the God and gain worth from his blood, you have to see that there is no worth out there, because otherwise you're trying to eat at both tables. You can't do both.
Actually not that subtle defense thing, which is to step over here and rather than me die, I can tell everybody else that they should die. Listen to this man. He knows what he's talking about. Go ahead. Lay down your life. Rather than it's just to me. With the demons leader.
Who was the first one to recognize that he was the Christ? Peter, that's what everybody thinks. It was a demon. Depart from me, thou Son of God. And the demon spoke correctly. If the human race had any understanding of the mystery, every person would be saying, depart from me, thou Son of God. Because he will cost them their life. Which they never owned in the first place, so it's not really costing them anything. It's like I'm spending Harry's money. But the point of it, can you get the fullness of what it means to say that the prince of this world has already been judged? That's the only basis of judgment? If you don't, I mean, there's no words to explain that. That's got to get to you some deep place other than by through this. Or that I go to my Father, that's the only basis of righteousness? That set the boundary. And if you're in here in this little narrow confines, defining your own, oh, look at me, look what I accomplished, or, oh, shit, I didn't do it right. Either one are the same. If you're judging yourself, you're a blithering idiot. You might as well be foaming at the mouth, crawling around on the floor. Oh, You've got to help me. I can't stop judging myself. Well, it's because you're an idiot. Oh, I'm so bad. Because I did all this stuff and I messed up so many times and I'm afraid I'm going to do it again. You're still an idiot. Because you're making you the subject of your sentence. Oh, what am I going to do? I just want to serve God. You cannot serve him. I just want to be a disciple. You cannot be a disciple. If you think you are, you're not. Can you see? Abandoning yourself, taking no thought of or about or for, or no definition of self is the only answer. And every time something causes you to define you or put you in the forefront, it's you leave it behind just like you'd walk away from a pile of shit. That's probably why people don't like me, huh?
Could be many reasons.
Perhaps. There could be many reasons.
I'm just one of many.
It's because you're a church fellow.
How many vote to kill Joyce Hannah?
Show of hands.
You didn't even get to read from your big book.
We're going to study the horror of great darkness and its relationship to the consecration of Abraham here. What?
We will tomorrow.
We will? Will you assure it?
You know for sure.
What if one of the airy guys says something?
What if your life is required this very night?
I'm sorry that he had to carry that all the way over here.
That's all right.
With your back and all.
You do stuff like that all the time.
Is that mic on?
One place.
Is that mic on?
What?
Where's the mic on?
I don't know. I mean, I did put it on. Take it, big guy. I'm tired of this.